Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit renews the church in every age. Pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in times of trial. Defend them against all enemies of the gospel. And bestow on the church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
The first reading is a reading from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 46 responsively. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult,
it
is in the midst of the city. It shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day.
The nation is
great. Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come.
Behold the one who makes war to cease in all the world, who breaks the bow, shatters the spear, and burns the shields with fire. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Glory
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning. Second reading is a reading from Romans. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? Is it excluded? By what law? By what? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith, for we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. They answered him, We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
At the annual gathering of pastors in Palm Desert
last week, and I was blessed to listen to two great energetic and engaging speakers. Dr. Reggie Williams, who is a teacher of ethics and philosophy at McCormick Seminary in Chicago, and the other speaker, Bishop Mark Hansen, who is our former presiding bishop. It was Bishop Hansen that put me on the freedom track for today's sermon. Jesus said, according to John's Gospel, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Bishop Hansen said, "We are free. Free not to be bound, not to be bound to sin, not to be bound to ego and self, not to be bound to guilt. And we are free to be bound to God's love, to be bound to our neighbors in service, to be bound to creation in care and protection." Jesus says that we are no longer second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. Now, that's a rather odd thing to say in the first century, because there were second-class citizens everywhere. Well, they weren't called second-class citizens. They were called slaves. Jesus knows this. And he knows that people have a hard time believing that someone can move you from being a slave to being free. That action could only be done by the king, or carried out by the king's son. But that's exactly who Jesus is and what Jesus does. He is the king's heir, the king's son, the one who names us freedom, names freedom for the slave, the one who can invite people to leave their shackles behind and to claim the abundant life and the freedom that God offers. That is the truth that makes you free. Here is the good news. God has already made you free, has already called you a beloved child. Jeremiah knew it was all about freedom. It's the past that traps us, the past that reminds us of our shortcomings, of our failures and disappointments. God tells the people of Israel through Jeremiah that even though they forgot their identity, even though they forgot that they were the chosen people of God, even though they fell short in so many ways, God would not hold that against them. Here's the good news. God will, or actually already has, forgotten all of their sin. Here's the thing. God does not have dementia. God does not have even simple forgetfulness. God chooses to have no memory of the past, no memory of our sin. God chooses to see us as the beloved children. The future is open, and you are free. Really, this whole Reformation thing is about freedom. From Paul's declaration that we heard in the book of Romans, that all have been justified by grace, to Luther's hammering those 95 debate issues onto the door of Wittenberg Castle, the castle church, to remind us that grace reigns supreme. The whole point of the Reformation was intended to tell us that we don't have to do a single thing to earn anything, say anything, accomplish anything, or buy a single indulgence in order to earn God's love. Here is the good news. We have it already. We are free. Most of our problems start when we forget that we have that love and worth and dignity as a gift from God. And when we try to earn it, or worse yet, when we try to take it from someone else. That's what the good news is all about. It's all about what God has done in Christ Jesus for us and for the world. It's all about freedom, There are times when I wonder if the ancient stories in the Bible and all those words and actions of the reformers in the Middle Ages, if that has anything to do with our 21st century selves. But this theme of freedom is so contemporary. This is so important to us right now. We need to hear this good news that we are free. We are not bound. No matter what we may have done, or no matter what may have been done to us, we are free. None of those things, what we've done or what has been done to us, none of those things define us. It's written on our hearts that we are free and that our future is open. The good news called freedom is often hard to believe. Some of what has happened to us or what we have done is so huge, so important, so all-encompassing, but it's not. Now, I don't mean for a minute to say that these things don't matter. Of course they do. Illness, disappointment, hurt, grief, our sin, they matter. And they may be all that we can think about. But it's not all that we are about. Nothing we have done or nothing that has been done to us captures who we are completely. Only one thing can do that, God, the creator and sustainer of all. And God has chosen to call us God's beloved children, and we are holy and precious in God's sight. That's what defines us. That's what we are all about. We had a visual reminder of that grace outpoured in Samantha's baptism this morning. And I saw Betty cleaning it up, wiping up the water that was splashed lavishly as we remember not only that Samantha is claimed by God, marked and sealed with the sign of Christ's cross, but we too have been marked with that cross and sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And so we are free. Free to risk, free to serve, free to struggle and laugh. We are free, free to love just as God loves us. And we are free to be bound. To be bound to God's love, to be bound to our neighbor in service, to be bound to creation in care and protection. Here's the good news. You are free. You are free from your past. You are free from regret, free from fear, free from self-limitation, free from ego and self-righteousness, free from old grudges, and free from mistakes. You are free. It's hard to believe that, isn't it? Jesus had to repeat it several times and give all kinds of different illustrations of that freedom. He said it in so many ways. You are free. The world so often tries to convince us that we are in bondage and that it takes some special effort to be free. But we need to hear that. We need to hear it with our own ears, that we are free. Bishop Hansen told us at the conference last week that we needed to share that good news, that we can't just sit and hear it, but we have to speak it, we have to tell it, and we have to hear it for ourselves as well. We can't keep it in. And in the middle of the sermon, Bishop Hansen said, take out your cell phone. Okay, that's not rhetorical, he said. I want you to take out your cell phone right now and call somebody and tell them this. You're in the middle of a worship service and the bishop just told you to take out your phone and call somebody and tell them, you are beloved of God. I can't talk anymore. Goodbye. So everybody took out their cell phones and we're calling people. The first two people I called, I got a busy signal. Stupid me. They're in the room with me. So I called Betty, The next, I just went down my most recent calls, and so Betty was the next one. Called her, she answered the phone. I said, Betty, I'm in the middle of a worship service. Bishop Hansen just told me to call you and tell you that you are beloved of God. Sorry, I can't talk anymore. And she thought we got cut off, because she's saying, what the heck is this? So I'm not going to ask you to take out your cell phone, but I am going to ask you to talk. I want you to turn to the person right next to you and say, you are beloved of God and you are free. And then listen to that person say it to you. Okay, go. You are beloved of God and you are free. So you heard that word? You heard it with your own ears. You are beloved of God and you are free. You are free in God's love. After I finished writing my sermon, I looked at the sermon hymn that had been selected for today. And of course, it's Reformation Day, so we have to sing A Mighty Fortress, words written by Martin Luther. We will sing that, but we're not going to sing it right now because I want to sing a song that is more about freedom. So number 665. Rise, shine, you people. Number 665. We'll sing A Mighty Fortress at the end. Number 665. Please stand.
Made alive in Christ, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's